From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Every Wednesday afternoon for more than 2 years, activists with Black Lives Matter have gathered in downtown Los Angeles to demand that District Attorney Jackie Lacey prosecute police officers involved in killings. Tired of her refusal to take action against even a single officer out of the hundreds that have killed, BLM LA has demanded she step down and organized against her re-election. Since the police killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis, LA, like other cities around the nation, has seen a massive expression of protest against police brutality, and the weekly BLM LA actions have taken on a new significance. The Rising Up crew masked up and headed to downtown LA this week to bring you the special report. I'm here in front of District Attorney Jackie Lacey's office. It's Wednesday afternoon. It's a site of weekly protests that Black Lives Matter have been holding for 2.5 years, demanding that Jackie Lacey hold accountable the police that have been killing Los Angelinos. And over the past few weeks, since the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis, Black Lives Matter LA has seen the crowds swell every week, every Wednesday. And today, as part of our ongoing series, Rising Up in the Streets, we'll be bringing you some of the voices of people gathered here, some of the protesters, as well as some of the speakers that include the parents of people who have been killed by LAPD.
Father, Father, can't you see?
Father, Father, can't you see?
What the system done to me?
What the system done to me?
They locked us up and shoot us down.
They locked us up and shoot us down. Ain't no justice in my town.
Father, Father, can't you see?
Father, Father, can't you see?
What the police done to me?
What the police done to me?
They locked us up and shoot us down.
They locked us up and shoot us down.
Ain't no justice in my town.
Ain't no justice in my town.
My name is Akili. I'm an organizer with Black Lives Matters LA.
So I'm assuming that you've been coming here weekly. Yes. Tell me how different this week, last week, and the last few weeks have been during these weekly Jackie Lacey protests?
Well, first of all, there's a lot more people. We have been here no matter what. If it was 20 of us or 20,000 of us, we've been here because we want accountability. We want Jackie Lacey to begin to prosecute these cops, because if she doesn't, it sends the message that it's okay to kill us. And without accountability, responsibility and consequence, the message keeps going out. It's acceptable to kill Black people and brown people. And so we are here to hold her accountable because she has not held the police accountable. And we have been here for over 2.5 years. We started in October 2017. And in come October, that'll be 3 years we've been here. And she's done nothing. There's 601 murders by the hands of police. Majority of them have been Black and brown. And you would think that there would be some evidence there that suggests that maybe some of those killings need to be investigated and prosecuted. But she has not found any of them worthy of prosecution. Now, she takes a lot of money from the sheriffs, and she takes a lot of money from the police for her re-elections. So that and working together with them has caused her to be ineffective. And so we want her gone. We want a prosecutor that is willing to prosecute the police as quickly as they are to prosecute us.
She is facing re-election in November. She faces a runoff. Are you hopeful that she will lose re-election? And are you hopeful that this crowd, the folks that are showing up, are going to show up at the polls and are going to vote her out?
Definitely. We forced her into a runoff already. She ran unopposed 4 years ago. Now she was forced into a runoff. There were three candidates, and they forced her into a runoff. And so if we can force her into a runoff and have a real discussion about the role and function of the district attorney, we can vote her out. She can be voted out. And so that's what we intend to do. We intend to work, educate people, and engage them and get them involved so that they vote her out.
What should white allies, the white folks that are saying Black Lives Matter, what do you expect from them for the long haul?
Three things. Join an organization, first of all. And we cannot forget these days and times, secondly. And then finally, don't call the police on black people. I mean, those are some things you can do. Find an organization, get involved, don't forget, and don't call the police on black people.
Now, you're also hoping that they demand transformation and not reform, because a lot of people who are new to the movement don't know that the reforms have been tried and have failed.
Well, part of the reason we are here is because every tinkering and tweaking that we've done has not been sufficient enough. What we have demanded is real accountability, real transformation. That takes time, that takes effort, and it can be painful. And so it's easier to tinker around the edges. We are no longer interested in tinkering around the edges. We want substantive change. We want transformation. That's why we talk about defunding the police. That's why we talk about prosecuting killer cops. In the past, we haven't put demands on the table. We've put, it would be nice if you did this, or maybe some more body cams, or maybe some more training. We have a racist, paramilitary organizations that are, we call the police, and they kill us without consequence. That is what we are seeking to end.
There are a lot of cops, very well armed, watching from the parking structure on the top and in front of the Hall of Justice and across the street. These are ultimately human beings. What would you say to these human beings who may have a completely different view of reality than the rest of us?
Get another job. Get another job. Because the reality that you see is the criminalization of black people. The reality that you see and act on is that we are criminals first. So get another job. If you got a problem, get another job. I don't have any particular sympathy or support for people who have consistently killed us for no reason at all. What George Floyd did not deserve his death. What Rosario Mack happened, what happened to him did not deserve his death. So if you're having consequences or you're having second thoughts, get another job. We are talking about shutting down the police. We are talking about defunding the police. We are talking about how we can have community efforts that protect. And we are talking about a whole new definition of safety. So for those people, if that's your job, get another job.
My name is Quintus Moore. I'm the father of Rosario Mack. He was murdered in the Crenshaw Mall, the Baldwin Hills Crenshaw Plaza, in broad daylight in a crowded mall. At that time, my son walked into the mall. He was having a mental crisis. He was paranoid, so he had a kitchen knife for protection. He was paranoid. He was having issues. And so when he got in the mall, some people saw him. He brandished the knife, but he never wielded it at anyone. And so the security, walked with him for a while and to make sure he was okay and make sure everybody else was okay. And they asked him, a patron in the mall asked security, why don't you call the police? And they said, no, because if we call the police, we know what they'll do, what they might do, and they did it. So my son walked over to security. When the security came up to my son and he talked to the security, he said, I need some help. Could you call somebody to come help me? I need some help. He asked for help. The security guard said, okay, I'll get you some help. She called her dispatcher. She refused to call the police. She called her dispatcher and said, we have a young black man in the mall. He has a kitchen, a little knife, and he's asking for some help. Could you send somebody over to help him? Thinking like they were gonna send a psych team or something like that. When she got off the phone with the dispatcher called LAPD and said, there's a black man in the mall with a knife. And when she said that, LAPD came like gangbusters, Navy SEALs. It was already an officer in the mall with my son, watching him. Everything was okay until the Navy SEALs came, the LAPD, and they came and they brandished all these weapons and pointed at him. He was already paranoid and having issues. They started screaming and yelling at him. He got scared and started running. And as soon as he started running, they started shooting. This is in a crowded mall in the daytime. It was kids and babies and women and children. People were in GameStop. They shot 15 times, 7 or 8 of the bullets hit my son. So the other bullets, one shot the plate glass window out of TJ Maxx. They shot up GameStop where kids were in there buying video games. They shot all around the mall to shoot my son. He ran, they shot him, he fell. First time, he got up. He started running again as they approached and got closer. They shot him again, second time. He fell. As they got closer, He mustered up some more strength. He got up. He started running again. They shot him for the third time. It was like 6 or 7 bullets in him. But thanks to Black Lives Matter, we got an independent autopsy and found out that he was shot all in the back 6 or 7 times. That last time they shot him in the leg, he fell for the third time. He lay in a pool of blood. The witnesses said he was still alive. The autopsy said that those were all non-life-threatening shots. He was shot up, but he was still alive. And as he lay there in the pool of blood, they get their weapons, walk over in formation, point blank range, because he kept running. And now like I said, I guess they felt, oh, we didn't kill him, let's make sure he's dead. That's what I'm thinking, because they walked over to him point blank range in formation and shot him point blank as he lay in the fetal position in a pool of blood. And people were screaming, like they were telling him, leave him alone, he's not doing anything, he's trying to get away, why are you shooting? One guy from another country said, that would have never happened in my country. They would have just tackled him or threw a blanket over him and threw him to the ground. They were just shocked. People were screaming and hollering, babies screaming and hollering, baby bottles strewn around, strollers strewn around, people diving in windows with their kids in their arms. It was horrific. And after it all happened, and my son had 2 daughters at the time. They were 9 and 11. And my daughter-in-law at the time, she's my ex-daughter-in-law now, my daughter-in-law at the time went to the school to get the 9-year-old. She's thinking when they come to the from the office to get her, oh, my mom's getting me early today. We're going to go do something fun. I'm getting out of school early. Only to find out when she gets to her mom, she has to tell her the news that the police murdered her dad. And you should hear my granddaughter tell that story. It's just horrific. It just rips your heart out. And that's what we're going through. And we went through all the proper channels. We went to the police commission like you're supposed to do. They didn't know we were armed with the information from the independent autopsy. They found the officers out of policy. They washed their hands of my son's blood. But even after they found them out of policy, which is that's what they're there for, Chief Moore and DA Lacey refuses to prosecute. They refuse to fire him. They refuse to prosecute him. They refuse to do anything to him. Even though even by the police commission's rules and regulations, they were out of policy.
How do you feel about what you're seeing right now with this movement?
Well, one thing that I'm glad about is that the police and law enforcement can no longer use the public, you know, media as a publicist, as a personal publicist, because that's what's been going on for years and years and years. You always hear the police side of the story. They always vilify the victim. Now that the truth is coming out and we're seeing the truth every day, they feel vilified because the truth is coming out. And one officer said that on TV, that you're vilifying us. No, we're showing you what you're doing. The truth is coming out. You can't lie anymore. And even with the white man, the 75-year-old white gentleman in Buffalo, they lied and said he tripped. But as you can clearly see on the video, they shoved him, they almost killed the man. I mean, they're horrific.
What would justice look like for your son?
Justice would look like, and all this would stop immediately, if they would hold these officers accountable. If they put them in jail, like they do every other citizen that commits murder or brutality, beat somebody up in broad daylight, snatch them out of their cars, tase them for no reason, beat them up, kill them for no reason, then lie about it, we would be locked up. If you started doing this to these officers, it would stop just like that. And some municipalities have already started. They started with George Floyd. They got those officers. They're doing it in more cities across the state. But this woman refuses to prosecute. Chief Moore refuses to fire them. They won't do anything. No accountability whatsoever.
My name is Dion Smith Downs. I'm the mother of James Earl Rivera, who was 16 years old, executed inside of a garage. 48 rounds, 18 into his body.
Oh my God.
I was a mother, didn't have a voice, because I thought I didn't have a voice.
It's all right.
It took me 2 years to be able to challenge the world to tell them that my son mattered.
Take your time, sister.
See, I stand here for the mothers who are in prison.
Yes.
I stand for the mother who lost their kids in the system.
Yes.
That also been shot and killed.
All right.
So I ask y'all again, when we went to Minnesota, them streets. He called out to the universe, and he called for all mothers from 14 on up.
That's right.
And he let us know that we got to unite because too much blood been shed on these streets. We're not looking for star mothers because when they murdered our sons, he was nothing but a nigga in their eyes. So I don't want people to get it twisted. We didn't ask for no goddamn lawsuit. We want justice.
That's right.
I've been out here for to be 10 years next month.
That's
for
right.
For my son.
That's right.
And I'm still here.
That's right.
I'm still here.
That's right.
And so I want to give y'all a little demonstration. I want to give y'all a little demonstration. And I want y'all to close your eyes for a second.
Amen.
And I want y'all to remember this, what George said. He said, my neck. He said, my body. He talked about how he was dying to the world. But a lot of us didn't catch it. Because I'm a mother, and I caught it. And I made sure I caught it because I watched it twice. I was watching it live, but I could not rewind it. I had to wait till the card finished replaying itself. And he said, mama, mama. And that's what he called all mother of the nation. It's time for all mother, I'm calling him, challenge every mother in the universe, from state to state, coast to coast. It's time for us to take our ground back. We've been mothers. We let this f***ed up system and this government divide us from our children, our husbands, our boyfriends, and our family.
That's right.
It's time to take it back.
Speak about it.
It's time to take it back.
That's right.
Speak about it.
I'm Pastor Eddie Anderson at McCarty Memorial Church. I'm here because 601 lives have been stolen by the police and there have been zero prosecutions. So we're here to say that it doesn't have to be this way. We can prosecute cops that kill us. So Jackie Lacey must go and we must start defunding the police and reinvesting in black community. I've been attending the weekly protests and I'm working with Black Lives Matter. I'm part of Clergy for Black Lives. I think the role of clergy is to be prophetic and to say this is the third reconstruction in our country and in our nation, that the people on the street are clear about what we need right now, and that's more investment in black communities, to really proclaim that Black Lives Matter and an end to police brutality. There's 601 George Floyds in Los Angeles, which have not seen justice. The DA has failed at her job, has failed at having moral courage and standing up for the families who have seen their loved ones slain. And so we are standing up today, and we've been standing up for 2.5 years on these steps declaring for justice. Administration has been tone deaf to the needs of the community, that it has continued the criminalization of black life. It has continued the dehumanization of families who have lost loved ones. And so now it's time for her to stand up and to go. It's time for us to find someone new to take this seat and to really take care of Los Angelinos. I hope the crowd keeps coming. I think for the last couple of weeks it's been this big because people are really waking up to conscience. We're in the middle of a global pandemic and people are out here risking their lives and their health because they understand that racism is a pandemic in our nation, that the nation needs to repent for its sins and what it did to the indigenous folks, what it did to my ancestors on slave ships, that they never forgiven for it. And so now the people are showing up in a moral fusion and it's beautiful, saying that Black Lives Matter. I think the LAPD is continuing the militarization of police, the war economy, and we need to shift to an economy of care at this time. It's the third reconstruction in this country. I think it's a historic movement. We haven't seen a movement like this since the 60s, since the 1800s, of people really rising up and demanding change, not asking for it any longer. Scripture is clear. Moses broke chains. Scripture is clear. Jesus threw over tables. Scripture is clear in Amos chapter 5. There'll be wailing and lamenting in streets until there is justice established in the courts and in the gates of our cities. That hasn't happened. So the people are living up the Bible more than Trump. Trump is not a biblical scholar. Trump is not a Christian in my estimation because he will understand that God is always on the side of the oppressed.
My name is Brenda Gutierrez. I am a member of the American Indian Movement, Southern California chapter.
We're here in solidarity with Black Lives Matter. We're here also because we want Jackie Lacey out. She does not represent the community. There has been over 600 murders by police that she has not persecuted a single, except for a single one. There's a lot of other issues with her, with the way she's running things. She has failed to also prosecute certain rape cases. So we've been coming here in solidarity with BLM for about 2 years, over 2 years now, every week to ask for Jackie Lacey to out of office. Our struggles are interconnected. As an Indigenous woman, I know that there is no Indigenous sovereignty without Black liberation. So we're always going to be here, and we will always stand with Black Lives Matter. Like, I am part, as you said, of Me Too Survivors March International, and there's a lot of reasons why us as a community, as survivors of sexual assault, as survivors of domestic violence, as Indigenous people, that we need to stand together right now and ask for a better DA. There has been a lot of issues with survivors being believed and the way they're treated by law enforcement, and many times. A lot of survivors that I've talked to, myself included, sometimes do not get treated justly by the cops. In fact, we're treated more like we did something wrong instead of the perpetrator. A lot of the cases don't even make it to court. And by things that we've seen in Jackie Lacey's office, there's been issues about sexual harassment that have not been addressed. So it is also a Me Too issue. The past few days and weeks, it's been very inspiring, and it's just showing that people are ready for a change. We're ready to see something different. We want something different. We deserve better. We deserve elected officials that really represent us and that really want to work for the community and not for corporate interests. I've been lucky enough to not be hurt. Some of our AIM members have had rubber bullets hit them. We have seen the violence. We have seen the tear gas, but we're still here because we know how important it is for us to be out here and demand for something better. I feel like we've seen this over and over, and again, as people, as a person of color, we have seen this. We know that this happens. It's not surprising, but we are ready for something different. You know, when you see a house on fire, you focus on that house and not on all the other houses. And right now, our Black brothers and sisters, their house is on fire, and we need to come out and make sure to like fight for them. And because, again, like I said, we can't be free unless our Black relatives are free.
Nicole, an attorney, criminal defense attorney. I think that we need a new district attorney in office, one that prosecutes killer cops, one that will be held accountable, and one that will not take money from police unions. So that is why I'm here today.
Why do you think Jackie Lacey is not prosecuting killer cops? There's over 600 people that have been killed.
Right, and not a single one of them has been prosecuted. And she takes over $2.2 million from the police unions. She has an incentive not to prosecute cops, so.
So you think the police unions are a big factor in this?
Absolutely. And that's a big thing for, you know, the other DA running, George Gascon, is that he won't take any money from the police union. So,
do you think that police accountability through prosecutions is enough, or is it just sort of one step out of many?
I think it's one step of many. I absolutely support defunding and reinvesting back in communities, and having other options besides just calling the police. So investing in other community-based organizations as well.
The defunding police aspect is one that you think needs to go hand in hand with prosecuting killer cops?
Yes, absolutely. I think that the amount that LA County spends is absolutely ridiculous, and the $150 million that was promised to be cut is not enough. So we absolutely need to defund and reinvest.
What is your sort of hope for where this movement goes?
I think it's amazing to see just even the minor change, like, you know, things that considered minor changes. But I mean, I hope that it leads to the ultimate defunding of the police, reinvestment into community organizations, and just an overall recognition from all persons that Black Lives Matter.
Jackie Lacey must go!
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 Prosecute killer cops!
Prosecute killer cops!
Prosecute killer cops!
Defund the police!
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 I'm Sonali Kohatkar for Rising Up with Sonali, bringing you a report from the protests against Jackie Lacey, organized weekly by Black Lives Matter Los Angeles. This is part of our ongoing series, Rising Up in the Streets.
Please share this report online from our website at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can also sign up for our daily newsletter. Find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.